And so we got to sit down and have lunch together. And I was really compelled to invite Nathan here to share with us about the Family Policy Alliance, and then also to preach this Sunday, and really just to share his vision for the Family Policy Alliance there. And so he's going to share with us for about 10 minutes or so about what the Family Policy Alliance is and what God's calling him to in that ministry. And then we're going to sing some worship together, and then Nathan will bring us the word, and we'll go outside and have a baptism. So, Nathan?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today. I've been looking forward to this for some time. I have some friends from near here. Well, nothing's really near here, but it's a little ways from here. Ann and Alan Slagle, and I understand they have some family and here among us today. They have been talking about this church for some time. I first met them when I was parliamentarian for the state party. I was a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Thermopolis for 12 and a half years, and one of our deacons was actually Ann Slagle's dad. And so got to know them many, many years ago. And then just coming to find out all the different ways in which God has already knit our hearts together, mine with your pastor and your church. Just going back for several years, we just have never had the opportunity to meet one another. Well, while I was pastoring there in Thermopolis, I was the chairman of the House Republican, the county convention. And what was so interesting about that is it gave me opportunity to meet people all across the state. And that's when I became parliamentarian. But I never anticipated God would call me directly into politics. I love serving as a pastor. I love teaching his word. I love spending time with people in prayer. And so when God called me to do that, and I know Pastor Anderson can attest to this, that's normally you're already spending at least 60 hours a week just doing the work of the ministry. And so I thought, Lord, how can I do that? But God had moved me specifically to that community and to have me serve in that particular way. And so in my three terms in the legislature, God also had me become the House Republican Caucus Chairman, which means 51 out of the 60 people in the House, I was kind of responsible to pastor. And there are many, many different ideas that pass around, of course, in a caucus that large. There are some people that really do not believe the Word of God or anything like that. But it gave me opportunity to express the truth. But I noticed around 6 years ago, there was something targeting the state of Wyoming, very specifically pushing for ideas that would eventually silence the Christian. And we've already watched this creep across Western civilization in many different ways. Just last year, toward the end of last year, there were people within a certain church that's in England that were calling for the church to silence itself and, if necessary, to have the government of England force them to censure themselves from speaking biblical truth. And we have seen an effort all across the state of Wyoming, but the United States of America for many years now, that essentially tries to call the Christian a hater if they stand up for the love that is found within the Word of God. And when you consider the impact that it's having, there are many people that today that believe that those people that would meet in this room really are just haters, when nothing is further from the truth. What they want to do is they want to silence the Christian from speaking what the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders. He called it speaking the whole counsel of God. And so we have been called to stand for truth no matter how dark the world around us gets. Well, as I noticed that last year, I knew God was continuing to call me in this particular arena. And so I thought it might be directly involved in public service. And God clearly called me that direction to run, and yet it wasn't his will that I win. It was so that I could actually meet people all across the state to help us understand how to stand together. Well, at the end of last year, I was contacted by the Family Policy Alliance. I knew we needed to do something to organize. We used to have a group here called YWatch, and they had been a help to me in the past. But YWatch, of course, had folded, and their leader had actually moved off to Nebraska, where I was able still to keep in contact with them, but we needed organization. And so I called a friend of mine up in Montana and said, is there some way to do in Wyoming what you guys are doing in Montana? And he said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to give you a number. And I got a call from a fellow with the Family Policy Alliance. Now, the Family Policy Alliance is the public policy partner of Focus on the Family. Years ago, they were known as Focus on the Family Action. Eventually, they became known as Citizen Link. And now they are the Family Policy Alliance. The reason for the change from Citizen Link was this. There was so much similarity with CenturyLink that people sometimes thought that they were ordering their cable when they gave Citizen Link. Matter of fact, there was a great senator down in Arizona that gave this beautiful, impassioned prayer, and he kept saying, for CenturyLink, over and over and over. I don't know if any of you had your cable get any better in the last few years, but we decided to change the name to Family Policy Alliance. And what we do is we actually teach biblical citizenship. What does it mean to be a biblical citizen? Our founders knew what that was. As a matter of fact, the way they founded this country was upon the principles of Scripture. So we actually teach biblical citizenship. But the great thing about it, too, especially for a state like ours, where we're very remote, we're the least populated state in the Union, and yet the 10th largest in landmass, it gives me an opportunity to come out here and minister and teach people what biblical citizenship looks like. And yet down at Colorado Springs, at the Focus on the Family headquarters, I have a team of people that are backing me up, taking care of many, many of the different needs. As a matter of fact, John Paulton, who has relatives here, is one of our key members down there. He's been with us since the very, very beginning, and he's actually in charge of 32 different states, the liaison for those 32 different states. And so it's neat that we already have connections like that. But we teach biblical citizenship. We harness the resources and create a professional alliance to be able to go down to the legislature and speak the truth in love. But the way to do that actually is to inform the people of the state of Wyoming about the issues that are going on in your backyard, especially on the subjects of life, religious liberty, and family values. Those are the ones very specifically under attack. And so when we look at how to accomplish that, we're actually looking for good, solid, biblical statesmen. Now let me tell you what a statesman is. A statesman is an individual that will stand for biblical values regardless of the personal consequence. Can you imagine a state where you actually had those kind of people in leadership who would stand for truth regardless of the personal consequences? That's what we're looking for. And there's never been a time more important than right now. And the reason I say that, about 6 years ago, as I've already said, we began to see a shift in the conversation. Well, we didn't know about it at the time, but we since have grown to learn what was happening. In Colorado, in the 2000s, from about 2002 to 2006, there was a very extreme shift that happened down there. They became a state that, in many ways, stood for biblical values, or at least traditional American historic values. And in 2008... there was a rapid change where every person elected to major offices and the majority of both House and Senate actually stood directly opposed to the classic American values this country was built upon and what the Scripture teaches. And we began to ask the question, why? Well, I was able to buy a book by the name of The Blueprint. And what had happened is four very wealthy individuals whose combined fortunes totaled about $1 billion, they began to target issues all across the state of Colorado, specifically trying to diminish genuine Christian faith and the right for a Christian to stand for biblical values in the public arena. One of those individuals is now their governor, Jared Polis. But there is one by the name of Tim Gill, who's specifically through the Gill Foundation trying to target Wyoming. And we have seen a lot more incidences of individuals that are trying to silence a Christian. If you want to bake a cake, do you have the right to actually stand up if someone wants to tell you that you're going to put on that cake something that violates your conscience? Well, the freedom of conscience enshrined in the First Amendment is so important, that no law establishing religion or prohibiting its free exercise, that is a core American value. And that's something that should be stood up for. But that was originally stood up for by the Christian community. It is unique in world history. There are other nations that teach that there is no established religion. France is one. But what they have in, combined with that, is a doctrine they call laicity, which is forced secularism. And they believe that a Christian has no right to live their faith out in public. America is unique in the right to live out your faith in the public arena. And we're looking for people who will stand up for their faith in the public arena. So we look for statesmen. What we do is we send them off to a special academy that we have had a member of Hillsdale College that has been a major trainer among us, and a guy by the name of Dr. Wayne Grudem, who also trains. We have people from all over the nation, the very best we can get, and we train up statesmen to stand for truth in their legislature. And the reason why we do that is because families truly are the key. Dr. Dobson, when he initially got us going many years ago, Dr. Dobson understood that everything in this culture hinges upon the family. As Christians, we already knew that. The very first thing that God instituted in the scripture was the family, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Only afterward did he institute government in Genesis chapter 9, and then later on institute, of course, the nation of Israel, and then showed how we were to live a Christian walk. Family comes first, and it is the family under attack. And that's the reason why it's time for the church to stand up for the family for biblical values. And so we're here, actually, raising funds to begin this important ministry, to come alongside the church and to teach us how we can actually participate in government, and also to keep the church informed as to what is going on. So I'm so thankful for your giving me the opportunity, Pastor, to actually present the ministry. I had a PowerPoint here, but it wasn't quite working just right, so I figured I would just tell you what's going on. But if you want to know more, we have brochures in the back. We also have business cards, and I would love, it has my cell phone number on there, and I would love for you to give me a call if you would like to know more about the Family Policy Alliance. Also, we are beginning to, once a week, send out short emails that just kind of keeps people informed. Now, during the legislative session, what we do is we actually will be sending them out more frequently as legislation goes on, and then it kind of tapers back off at the end of the legislative session. But if you would like to know more on a regular basis, please grab one of those brochures, put your name in there, and I will make sure that our team in Colorado Springs can keep you informed about what's happening here in the state of Wyoming. Thank you so much, Pastor.